been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Here we go, man. After this terrible, terrible Steelers game this past Sunday, joining me to help me get through all this pain and suffering I feel right now, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Brandon, I'm here for you, bro. We need an intervention.
What a game on Sunday. I'm not going to lie to you. I actually fell asleep towards the end of that game. Because
Whoa.
I did.
You fell asleep?
I fell asleep because I was so upset and distraught over this game and how terrible this team looked, especially up against the Steelers, a bitter rival. Of course, the Ravens and Steelers, they kind of flip-flop, and it seems as if, once one team kind of gets the upper hand in a game, the next game, the script is flipped. But this was kind of ridiculous. I mean, the Ravens, they looked out-coached, they looked outplayed, they looked the way that the Steelers looked in Week 2 against the Ravens. I mean, it really was a big flip-flop, but this game was a real embarrassment for the Baltimore Ravens, because not only was it the Steelers, but it was Sunday night, it was prime time, and these guys looked horrible on the field.
Looked horrible on the field. I don't know where to start, Brandon. I'm still trying to figure out what happened, because it wasn't like we start off like that. As you recall, we went right down the field and scored. You know, a touchdown pass to Torrey Smith over the top, it was great. It was very impressive. I was very happy. And then all of a sudden, it was just, we turned up, and not even before we get to the turnovers, how about the three straight sacks on Ben Roethlisberger? I don't even think that's been done by the Ravens, let alone against the Steelers, and that was impressive. I know they sacked Matt Ryan back in the Falcons game two times in a row, but that was unprecedented. That was where the defense has to step up and get the pressure. All year we've been speaking about, can the defense step up and get pressure? And they were in his wheelhouse, and obviously Courtney Upshaw got a nice pop with the shoulder. So that was great to see, and that led to him looking like Popeye, because he got his jaw banged in a little bit. So it was good to see. It was a Ravens-Steeler rivalry, man, a slugfest, as you should say. But going back to that, it was just a light just went off. It was, okay, 7-0 lead, we're smacking them, we got them, and then all of a sudden, Tad Fair fumbles the football. They go down and score, it's a tie game, and then Flacco, which I think I defend him in breaking down this play. He was under pressure, under duress, and he tried to throw the ball on the sidelines. What happened was he didn't put enough mustard on the ball, and ended up getting picked off, dude, and led to another score. 14 points off turnovers. We lost by 20 in there. So you look at that 14-point microcosm, there's 6 points there, right there. So, again, you dig yourself into the early hole. You know, we're up 7-0. We give them basically 14 points, and so now we're down 7. 14-point swing. Here we go. And then it just got relentless from there. Brandon, this whole game was a mess from that turnover. And I did say this in the last show. When I said the secondary, I was concerned. Not scared, but concerned. Now I'm scared because Jimmy Smith, what a huge gaping loss. This is horrible, bro.
Yeah, losing Jimmy Smith, definitely. You can see right here how big of a factor that is on the secondary. But this is what the biggest Achilles heel for this team has been all year long. I mean, Asa Jackson goes out pretty early. Now Jimmy Smith, I mean, you got to count on guys like Shockey Brown, which he's not had a good season in any way. But I wanted to bring this guy up when the Ravens beat the Buccaneers and did it pretty decisively. Dominique Franks, he had a really good game. game up against the Buccaneers. But then a game like this up against the Steelers, it shows this guy is out of the league. I mean, he's not playing at the level of an NFL player. I'm not going to put the entire blame on him, but really, when you're up against the Steelers and you're up against a division rival, that's when you really got to shine. Not against a team like the Buccaneers that they're known for not being that good of a team, especially this year. So he definitely had a bad game, and he's definitely making a lot of people in Baltimore a little uneasy about the defense. But very unimpressed right now with Dominic Franks.
Oh, I'm very unimpressed too, man. And not only him, but Shockey Brown in general. It just shows that they're just not up for the big time games, the big time coverage schemes, or the coverage jobs, I should say. And the Steelers receivers gave us trouble all night long, man. Antonio Brown's a beast. Martellus Bryant and this rookie Wheaton. These guys, they're beasts. They're big physical receivers and they're fast. Not to undermine that, with our talent, but it was just too much firepower, man. And when I was concerned with the Steelers and Ben throwing 6 touchdowns a week before, and then he threw another 6 against us. Yeah, I told you I was a little concerned. So, and even a Steeler fan friend of mine that I work with, I saw him the other day the day after the loss, and he looked at me. He says, "You were right, 6 touchdowns." I said, "I told you." I said. And I kept this off the record, but I especially on the show, but I said, if I was a bet man, obviously I would have bet the Steelers were going to win. Not that decisively. I thought it was going to be a lot closer game than it was, but I told him, with the Steeler fan that I know, I told him specifically, I said, they just threw 6 touchdowns against the Colts. And I said, I'm concerned with that because we lost Jimmy Smith. And I said, and I quote, he's going to throw in another 6 against us. And he literally, I came into the gym, the workout, and he's like, "You're right." I said, "I told you, man." It was weird how it happened, but I just said, and he even asked, he goes, "You know what happened?" I said, "I don't know, man." It was almost like reminiscent back to the Super Bowl, how dominant we were. Now, not to say we weren't dominant the whole game. We were dominant maybe the first half of the first quarter, but it was like then the lights just, quote unquote, went off. And then it was just like a whole different team out there. We didn't know how to cover. We didn't know how to rush Big Ben. And maybe the Steelers line, maybe they come up with a scheme to stop that. They countered that because we were in his grill all night or the first part of the night, and all of a sudden there's a force field there. We couldn't touch him, and he was back there picking us apart. And then poor Joe Flacco on the other side, man, our offensive line looked horrible, atrocious, garbage. You can just pretty much mail it in, man. It was just flat out horrible. And when Joe's under duress, it's not going to be a good game, man. And this is the problem I have with this offense. I don't know if it's QBX system, whether it fits this team or not, but I've noticed this going back from last year when it wasn't QBX system and Caldwell was under the reins and whatnot, and maybe even going back to Cameron days. Joe was a lot, Brandon, I don't know if you noticed this, but Joe was a lot more back in the shotgun formation. I have not seen him back there this much this year. And they even ran a lot of those no-huddle quick offenses, and I have yet to see that this year. It's been a 3-step drop offense, and I was discussing with some friends of mine during the game, QBX offense is designed through a 3-step drop offense and a run-heavy, it should be a run or run-first offense. And not with this team, man, because once Joe Flacco takes that 3rd step and looks for his reads, he's under duress, he's under pressure, he's got to get it out, he's got to start running, and the play's breaking down, and it's making us look bad. So I don't know if it's something's got to fix with the scheme, the blocking, but, I mean, we've seen it in some games, but that Steeler game, it was just the only bright spot I got to say, man, is the Ravens keeping faith in Jacoby Jones, man, a great return. And that was great to see, man. It was really great to see him run down the sidelines. And I know all the jokes with, is Tomlin going to trip him, blah, 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 with that set aside. It was great to see, sticking with Jacoby. And, he finally broke out for one for this year. And kudos to him. And he would get the loom game ball if there's any to be passed out. Because my man Jacoby, returned it, Mr. 108 himself. And it almost gave us life, when the Steelers scored and we scored it right back to make it a 12-point game again. I was like, all right, defensive stop. There was plenty of time in the game. And then when the Steelers just drove down the field, that's all she wrote, man.
Yeah, to go back to the offensive line, it's pretty non-existent right now for the Ravens. The best thing to do for this type of team, keep Joe Flacco on his friggin' feet. At one point, you know, Joe gets the ball, and I think within like 5 seconds, maybe not even 5 seconds, he was already on the ground and sacked. If, you know, looking forward to the draft, I mean, I don't know where you put your first draft pick if you get somebody who can play in the secondary or if you get somebody who can actually block for this guy. It's insane that the offensive line is this bad. A lot of people want to yell at Joe and say, oh, you know, what Joe is going to show up this week? Is it, you know, is he going to overthrow? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? You know what? The guy, he needs to be able to focus on passing and get plays done, not worrying about, you know, ducking and dodging people coming after him. That's what the offensive line is for. So, really, the offensive line's got to get working here. And I don't know if it's completely the players not doing their jobs or if it is the coaching staff. Gary Kubiak, you know, this is his first season here with the Baltimore Ravens. But the dude is a veteran. He should know how to do this kind of stuff. If you look at this game on Sunday, the Steelers, you know, Ben Roethlisberger gets sacked 3 times. After that, they figured out, all right, this is what we got to do to block these guys, and this is what we have to do to get plays done. So they adapted to who they were playing against during the game. Gary Kubiak doesn't seem as if he knows how to adapt and change from what's going on. So it seems as if he's calling plays, and if something doesn't work, he just goes, well, let's just try it again. And then let's try it again, and again, and again. And again, and he doesn't figure out. I mean, I think that's why the Steelers were able to beat the Colts and the Ravens were not. The Colts definitely had the number for Joe Flacco. They knew how to get past the offensive line and took him down. And Gary Kubiak and the offensive line, they didn't do anything to change that. So, of course the Ravens aren't going to beat the Colts, and of course they aren't going to beat the Steelers if you don't change the way the game is going. You know, if the defense is able to get to Joe Flacco, figure out why and then fix it. Do it during the game. That's why you're a coach. I mean, yes, the offensive line is not as good as it once was, but you can't leave Joe Flacco out there, you know, out to dry and get sacked every 2 seconds. Because, I mean, leaving that Steelers game, I was worried that this guy was going to come out and get hurt, wasn't going to be able to finish the game because he was getting hit hard. Nobody was protecting Joe Flacco. So, really, I mean, if you're all your money and everything that everyone talks about is invested in Joe Flacco, I got to assume when the draft comes, you'd go for somebody on the offensive line to keep that guy safe and to make sure your investment that you put all your money into is going to be able to finish the whole season. If Joe Flacco gets hit any more this season, I'm really worried that he's not going to be able to finish the season because this offensive line is just so weak and the coaching staff is just so weak that they're not able to get stuff done.
Brandon, I don't think you could have said it any better yourself, my friend. You must have even been eavesdropping our conversation during the game, were you? Because if you can replay the conversation you just went on, that is exactly what me and my friend were discussing. Because in that third quarter, I was getting frustrated, and I said, this team never makes adjustments during a game. And my friend just looked at me with a frustrated look and said, this is the Ravens. This is who they are. They just do things. And you're right. They run the same play. It's the definition of insanity. Maybe this team is insane. You know, they do the same thing over and over again. Well, maybe we'll score 20 points today versus 7, you know, or maybe it'll work. No, you know, this team needs to adjust it. That's why I said that. I remember going back to all week one. Remember that we could not touch Andy Dalton and we couldn't figure out why? I mean, the pass rush was getting there, but he was getting the ball. Why? Because they were calling the quick slants in the plays to where Dalton was, like, in the shotgun, 1-2 out. It was like 1.5 seconds, the ball was out. Peyton Manning does it, Tom Brady does it. They adjust things. And going back, and here we're going to break it really down. It's set the good, the bad, and the elite. We're gonna show you how the elite teams do it. We're sitting there, me and my dad, we're watching the Broncos and Patriots game before the Ravens game. You know, that was one of the great games of the marquee matchups of the year, obviously. You know, you got both two Hall of Famers going against each other, two high-powered offenses, two great franchises, and it was a great game. You know, Brady threw another, four touchdowns and just looked awesome. I hate to say it, but he's just on another level right now. And me and my dad were saying, this is what the Patriots do. And Phil Simms said this perfectly, and he goes back to our key point here. What the Patriots do they figure what you're doing and they counter that and they game plan. They game plan for what, like they broke it down. They said, okay, ever since the Chiefs game and they got blown out, not to say that that happened since then, but they break down every opponent. Phil Simpson's, they break down and they scheme for the Denver Broncos this week. Then they move on to the next team. What the Ravens do, they have a certain game plan. It's the Ravens, quote-unquote, game plan. We're going to run the football. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It don't matter who the opponent is. It could be someone coming in here who's a juggernaut, or it could be a weak team. And I think that's why the Ravens sometimes lose to the weaker teams. You know, let's say a few years ago, Jacksonville, or, you know, a few years ago, before that, it was the winless Dolphins got their lone win against us, because we don't play up or down, no point. We just play our game no matter who comes into M&T Bank Stadium or who we're playing on the road. It just, we don't care. And the game ebbs and flows like that. And with the Patriots, going back to my point here, they scheme for that opponent. That's what Phil Simms is saying. He goes, you know, the Patriots, because, you know, with their defense is shaky. Well, they look great today. Why? Because they scheme and they match up well for what their opponent is. If they have a high-powered offense, they're going to scheme their defense around that offense to stop them. Just like what the Steelers just did. You know, we were getting to Ben, and then all of a sudden we couldn't touch them. Like, there's a force field. Why? Because they probably looked and go, oh, okay, this is what we're going to do to fix that, because enough's enough. The Ravens were like, oh, Joe's getting dressed. Well, let's just run the play and see what happens. It was just that is the Baltimore Ravens. That sums up pretty much who they are. Another thing that's going to change, I don't know if it's a Kubiak issue. I don't know if it's a Harbaugh issue. I don't think, because I've seen great things happen with the Ravens before with the Harbaugh in this Harbaugh era, and I don't think it is, John. I think it's coaching. It comes down to scheming. I think we need the right guy in there to have a different perspective. You know what? This isn't working. We need to change it. And it's not going to change as of right now, and I hate to say that. It's frustrating as it may sound, but it might be a long 7 games.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we talk about the future games coming up up against the Titans, there's one more thing I do want to address about this Steelers game. Let's talk about Terrell Suggs and towards the end of this game when he kind of lost his cool and it looked like there were going to be a bunch of fights breaking out, and you know, the refs kind of had to calm everybody down and say, you know, we're not going to put up with this. Somebody might get ejected if we have to call it next time. I love seeing Suggs' passion, and I love seeing him get into the game, but I kind of feel as if he, you know, I'm not even talking about the questionable hit, if you want to, you know, look at that one, if we can go in depth on that one. But I'm just talking about towards the end of the game, he was losing. To me, it kind of felt as if Terrell Suggs was turning into a sore loser, and he was kind of going out of his way you know, throw it in the Steelers' faces that they weren't going to get out of here easy to certain points. I like his passion and everything, but I feel as if towards the end of the game he didn't carry himself in the best light, I guess.
Yeah, man. And I brought that up too. A lot of people were asking me my opinions, and that's what I said. I said, I think it's just got the best of them. You know, like, you know, we get angry. We're humans. You know, we're all, you know, you're a nice guy, I'm a nice guy. We're all nice people. But then what happens is, you know, you can get frustrated and get life, and you might snap at your mother. You might snap at your brother. You might snap at your, you know, husband, wife, et cetera, girlfriend, boyfriend, whoever it may be. And you might feel bad, and then you might apologize. I think that's what that moment was. It was just the game was getting so agitated, and with the rivalry and with the game, I think just Suggs let it out in the wrong way. He was just getting frustrated, and you're right, man. And, you know, he dressed it in the post game. You know, he didn't really lose his cool. It was just part of the game. But you know what? It is what it is. Again, you know, I like to see that passion because we need that. You know, we need that rough and tough. You know, that's how what Bolden brought. That's what Steve Smith brings. And Suggs brings down the defense. We can't lay down. We got to show them, hey, we're going to fight. And no matter what, it was kind of part that. Part frustration, but part, you know what, we might get getting beat, but I'm playing hard every play, and I'm going to push you in the turf. And that's what he was doing. And besides that, you know, the Steelers were kind of doing the same thing. I've seen a lot of the same thing on their end, and it was kind of like, it was great. It was those Ravens-Steelers rivalries. Both benches got worn. It was one of those, like, here we go, man. No matter what the game is, it's always a slugfest. And, you know, stemming from that, the frustration could have been with these calls, man. And one thing I got to say, you know, you're right. Ravens Nation is always quick to blame the refs because they're always out to get us and blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. And I saw a lot of social media jokes. And, you know, Chris Collinsworth and Skip Bayless are one of the biggest Ravens non-supporters. And when Chris Collinsworth during a game is agreeing with the Ravens and questioning a call, and I don't know about all that. And then when Skip Bayless is going to social media and being like, I don't know. And even he was one to defend Steve Smith's offensive pinch interference call not even a week prior, saying that, nope, that should have been a non-call, should have been game-winning touchdown. The Ravens got one taken from them. Skip Bayless 2 weeks in a row has agreed with us. So I don't know if it's a personal vendetta out with the team or what's going on. But what about, the ball spot? Now, that was clearly short. They gave it to the Steelers. Again, it should have been a fourth down stop. What about, Torrey Smith going for a touchdown? And I posted it on Twitter moments ago before the show, saying that, you think we blame the refs? Here's your take, because there's a picture of a Steeler fan breaking his, ripping his jersey while he's trying to go up for the ball. And here's the ultimate right here, Brandon. Steve Smith was flagged for a slight push off, not a blatant, but a slight push off to get the ball for a game winning touchdown. An incredible play. Antonio Brown basically mauls over Le'Darius Webb, because not even before that, I saw the replay. I was like, where's Webb? Did he fall down? Because I knew that was his guy and I knew he was covering him. And then when they shoot a replay, I'm like, oh, okay, Antonio Brown can actually shove him, because I saw Webb get up and put his arms in the air. And Antonio Brown can shove him to the ground and get a call like that and not get a call. That to me, it's absurd. And it's not fair. And the reason why we cry wolf, it's never been called for us or against us like that. And it's been inconsistent. And that's league-wide, but enough is enough. And the calls are not going the way we want them to be. And again, it should be just called fairly. And that's unacceptable, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's pretty much it for the Steelers game to discuss. You hate to see the Ravens come out with a loss, especially against the Steelers. But I think at least this game has showed that there's a lot of stuff that the Ravens have to work on. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Yeah,
there is. And with that, too, it's the Bengals swept us. The Steelers were 1-1. So with the fan bases, warring with the words and everything, hey, we got you in week two with a 20-point win. You only scored 6 points against us, and we made you look bad. And hey, you got us by 20 points, because we beat them 26-6. They beat us 43-23. We each won by 20 points in each other's homes. But so be it. We're tied. Wait till next year to see what happens. I mean, we're even. And the Steelers talked about that. They even the score. They got us in week two on a prime time game. And we came out swinging and we looked great. And then now in another prime time game, they looked great. And then we looked horrible. So again, tale of two teams, tale of two cities, tale of 2 weeks. It is what it is. You got to lick our wounds, and you're right, man. And we're going to go right into that, too, with the Bengals coverage. Of course, right after our break, Brandon. But, to set the stage, a little teaser, John Harbaugh's, in his post-game locker room speech said, we're not done fighting, and it's going to be, we got 7 games left. We got to win the most we can, and it all starts now.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw. I don't know if you use the Time Hop app on your phone, but I do, and it kind of shows you what you tweeted or Facebooked a year ago on that same day, or 2 years ago, or 8 years ago, or whatever. But last year on Monday, I saw that. I think it was again up against the Steelers last year, and I said, "Well, I think that might be the season, folks. I think it's going to be a shortened one because the Ravens can't really figure out what to get done." I don't feel exactly the same way. I don't feel as if the season is over after that last game, but there's definitely some stuff to fix, and we'll get into that right after the break here. Here's a quick word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Ravens fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, if you want to get ready for the Winter Classic this year, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. Myself and Coach Dan Hayden, we discuss the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, and the South Carolina Stingrays weekly, going over games, stats, and more. So check it out, The Call and What the Puck, both available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. The Ravens are up against the Tennessee Titans at home in the phone booth. After that Steelers loss and really showing the entire NFL and the world in primetime what a lot of the problems are with this team, the Ravens have to now refocus. And they're a type of team that has a very short memory, which is a good thing because they can't get hung up on that loss. But, Josh, up against the Titans, you know, we know where the problems are. The offensive line and the safeties. So what do the Ravens have to do to make sure that this losing streak stops at just two games and make sure that the Tennessee Titans don't hurt Joe Flacco and don't really pick on our safeties as much? What do they have to do to focus on that?
Well, they got to do the focus. They need to get back to basics. First off, it's home cooking. They're at home in front of the home crowd, obviously. It's always fun there. And they know it's familiar territory. It's good to be back home. They're not in a hostile environment. And they want to put on for us and show us that, hey, you know, going to the bye week, you know, we mean business and we're going to turn the ship around with a 6-4 record instead of being flat at 5-5. And that's what we're staring in the face. We went from first to last place in AFC North in 2 weeks. Enough's enough. We got to start winning. Got to start winning now. And I would say, what better way to have a 2-6 opponent, you know, records aside, you know, but they're not really making any noise. They're a game ahead of Jacksonville Jaguars in their division. Jacksonville's 1-7. So, no, the Titans aren't really making any noise, not setting the world on fire. They don't really concern me or scare me. You know, being that said, you know, you can't take an opponent lightly. You know, I'm not disrespecting the Tennessee Titans at all because they are an NFL team in any given Sunday. So, and I've seen it Ravens happen. I've seen them get tripped up with games like this before. So it remains to be seen. Let's see what happens kind of deal. Because the Ravens are basically playing down to the opponent right now because they're playing horrible as well. So they're playing like a 2-6 team instead of a 5-4 team. So, again, you know, the Ravens are 5-4. They just got to start winning now and they'll be all right for this year. The Tennessee Titans do provide some matchups. Delaney Walker on a tight end. He's a big physical tight end down the middle of the seam. It's going to be interesting to see where the secondary stands as far as guarding these guys. Kendall Wright, he's been a formidable solid receiver for him this year. Nate Washington's been making some noise a little bit, a couple of games there. I mean, Nate Washington's last game, the Tennessee Titans had a bye this week, but he had, he had a nice game. He had 4 receptions, 68 yards. But now here's the kicker. You know, the Tennessee Titans are right now down to the third stringer. I don't know. That their backup is coming in with Charlie Whitehurst. I'm not sure. I'm still trying to look for reports on that because I know their rookie, Zach Madberger, the third stringer, actually started because Jake Locker's out for the year, their starter, and Charlie Whitehurst had to start, man. He got hurt in the week prior in week 8. It's going to be interesting to see what their quarterback situation is. If the rookie, Zach Madberger, comes in, I think he's going to be trouble because this defense, they're going to be mad. They're going to be pissed off. So I was going to bring that swagger to the defense, and I think he's in for a long day. And Bishop Sankey and Sean Green, they're okay backs. They're not really concerning me in the running game. I think we're going to shut them down. We're going to make the Tennessee Titans one-dimensional because I see the running game being shut down. They're going to be one-dimensional. I think we're going to force about 2 turnovers. The Ravens are going to win this game and win this game decisively. It's kind of like, you know, not to overlook this game because then you got the bye and then you got a big, huge matchup again on primetime Monday night against the New Orleans Saints. So this is kind of the games where you kind of want to get the bye week. So you hope that, you know, the Ravens aren't too concerned with, all right, well, we'll just get this game out of the way and get the bye week and rest their liquor wounds and really refresh and refocus. And be honest with you, I don't think the bye week can come at a perfect time because, you know, especially this opponent. This is kind of like the perfect setup, perfect opponent, perfect home cooking, perfect bye week. At a perfect time where the Ravens need a break. They need to refocus and re-energize themselves, rejuvenate, refresh, whatever you may call it. Going back to it all, man, the Tennessee Titans, I'm not concerned. This is going to be a win on the board, decisively. I'm going to call it already. I'm just going to put it to rest. A 24-10 win for the Ravens, and it's going to be a nice, easy win. It's going to be a smooth win. Enjoy some home cooking and another great day down at M&T Bank, down in Baltimore City, tailgating as usual, and we're going to have fun with it. But really, I don't see too much concerns, especially if Mettenberger is quarterback. It's going to be a long day for the Titans.
Now, what do the Ravens do up against a team like the Titans that really, I mean, you've said it, they're not a huge threat. You know, they don't have the best record this year. But right. Coming out of the game with the Steelers, where, you know, the Steelers were the better team last week, and the Ravens just couldn't get anything done. If you're up against a team like the Titans, I would think after, you know, after a game like the Steelers, like you said, go back to basics. You figure out what went wrong, and you kind of go against this team. Do you try new stuff, or do you kind of keep people that didn't have a good game against the Steelers like in the same place, or do you move people around since this is a team that isn't as big a threat? Do you move stuff around? Do you keep it the same, hoping people will get better, getting acclimated to like a certain position? What do you think they should do? Should they stay the same, stay the course? Should they move guys around? What do you think?
No, change it up, man. Like we just discussed before, you know, the whole thing, if it ain't broke offensive, it is broken. Because if you just seem to can't get that winning formula, you know, we get it and then we lose it. But if it's not working, we need to change it. Because this defense, or this whole team, offense, defense, special teams included, they just can't be working on this kind of the circumstances, the way they run things, the way they. It's just not going to work. And you're right. Maybe if they get up big like they did against the Falcons or the Buccaneers, maybe they can go, okay, well, let's try a trick play or two. Let's try this blocking scheme. They might try a few things. I don't think it's going to be bland and vanilla, because if it is, this is going to be a closer game than we anticipate. Like I said, 24-10 is my prediction. It might be even worse than that, or it might be close to that. You never know with this team. At this point in the season, it's, you know what, let's just see what happens. And it's a win, it's a win, it's a loss. You know what? You know, not saying being negative, but until this team shows what they can do, it's almost like that identity crisis again. Who are they? And with this next month of football coming by Thanksgiving, we'll know where we stand. Are we going to be looking forward to next year, next season? Are we going to try to lock up a fifth or sixth seed playoff spot? Because division's out of the question. There's no way. You know, getting a 2-3 divisional record, our last one's the last game at home against the Browns. And with the Browns and the Bengals facing off, the Browns are 6-3, ladies and gentlemen. They win, or they're 5-3, I should say. If they win Thursday night and in a few nights against the Bengals, they're going to be 6-3 right there in the thick of things in first place. And that's crazy, given the circumstances of things and where we came from. And we were, you know, at a 5-2 record not a short time long ago. And now we're 5-4. So, again, you got to get it back under. But I've seen this from this team before, man, with the game plans. It's get back down to basics, you know, run for set, hold your blocks, hold your flacco enough time to get the balls. And the receivers just catch the guy. Catch. The guy's got to catch the ball, you know. And if you look at sometimes with the drops and with the routes in this game, guys, just get back to the basics and have fun. I don't think this team's having too much fun out there. And you're right. It's not fun when you're losing. But the Ravens just don't look like they're having a bunch of fun. You know, Flacco's not out there smiling. You got Suggs being chippy. And again, you know, if you can put all that aside and get back to having fun playing football and Steve Smith having fun out there, I think it's going to prove a lot better outcome than what's been becoming of late. And speaking of that, you know, going back to the matchups, it's going to be interesting to see, because we all know we actually welcome back a former Raven. Not only from the Super Bowl team, but, you know, from the fame of the blind side. And Michael Orr actually comes back to Baltimore this week. He is a Titan. And believe it or not, I do think Bernard Pollard is still a Titan, unless he's been released or elsewhere that I don't know about. But on the depth chart, I've seen him on there. But Bernard Pollard's welcome back to Baltimore if he's still a Titan as well.
Very interesting. So let me ask you about a guy who didn't have the greatest game. He still was okay, but, you know, he didn't have a great game. Talaferro, he didn't have a great game in the Steelers. Do you keep Talaferro in this game, or do you try to bring Bernard Pierce back into the mix?
I would say you bring Bernard Pierce back, and here's why. Again, going back to the change. If it's not working, change it up. Talaferro fumbled. Not to say we lose faith in Talaferro, but you got to show these guys, hey, you know, if you're not performing, someone else might take your job. Someone else will perform. And I say change it up. I don't know what the whole Pierce being inactive is. I don't know what's going on. He's definitely not hurt. I don't know if it's just he's in the doghouse. It was all like McKinney thing. Like McKinney just You know, well, McKinney's thing, he wasn't practicing well, so we don't know if it's an internal thing, like if Pierce isn't showing the coaches that, hey, put me in, or if it's just a personnel thing saying, well, Tyler Taylor's doing a better job right now, so let's just hold off. We know Forsett's the immediate starter, so I don't know, man. I'd like to see Bernard Pierce in there, maybe give us a new look, a new perspective. I kind of miss him in there a little bit because he provided that big physical 1-2 punch. Forsett's physical, but Forsett, he's great. And I'm really glad that we found a good formidable gem for us in the running game. I was a little shaky at first, but I'm confident now with the running game with Forsett going forward, and hopefully he'll be our back for a few years. And I just like to see a three-headed monster back there and change it up, especially against the Titans. What do you got to lose? I mean, we're 5-4. What are you going to do? Think you're going to lose this game? You go out there swinging. You got to go out there swinging. I like to see Bernard Pierce on the field, definitely.
And now going to the defense with you know, the secondary being such a mess. What do you do there? I mean, we already know Harbaugh kind of had a few words saying, you know, people, they got to step up. A lot of these guys have to step up and right. You know, play as hard as they can. But do you play a little bit more of like Matt Elam and Will Hill? Do you have a guy like Dominique Brooks kind of sit out a little bit longer? What do you think would be the best route here? Because none of these guys have really been standouts. So really, it's kind of like, what, you know, what less evil can you go with?
Right. Well, for the most part, the secondary has been holding well. This game excluded, they've been holding well now. Dominique Franks, maybe he can get through one more game, because I'm really hoping and praying Jimmy Smith can get back for the Monday nighter against the Saints in 3 weeks, or 2 weeks, I should say, because it can't come soon enough. Webb, he's been okay. He's been literally the secondary just needs some help. Will Hill, he's been solid, man. I mean, decent, solid borderline. He's been decent. Webb's been okay to good to moderate. Dominique Franks, you're right. Going back to the Bucs game, you know, he did right there. But again, it is the Buccaneers versus the Pittsburgh Steelers offense. So a lot of different looks there, a lot more different schemes. The Bucs do have physical receivers. They showed a little bit towards the end of that game. But they just need to hold their lanes. And like Harbaugh said, the safeties have to play better over the top. Because with these big plays, the safeties, that's what they are. They're our safety net. They help out with that. They look the field and scheme that. And I'm not going to go as far as saying, you know, obviously we're always going to miss an Ed Reed or a Ray Lewis because, you know, what they brought and their prowess, and not only that, but their mental game. They knew. They just knew what the defense or the offense was going to do, and they adjusted it to it, and that's what made them Hall of Famers. But, you know, our safeties aren't Ed Reed-like, and we need that. We need that center fielder that can read the field and go, okay, here's where they're going. And what happens is the safeties are getting bit on plays, and they're just leaving the field wide open. And I think that's why I'd be seeing a lot of big playability from the offenses or opponents' offenses from the teams. You know, with Antonio Brown on the Steelers game, you know, it's happened. With the Bengals game, it's new getting loose. I think these guys are just, they're biting on the coverages. And a lot of them, I've seen it. The corners are letting them go by on the double goes because they're thinking they have safety help over the top. And it's not there. And these guys aren't communicating. And that's another key factor, communicating. And it's just looking embarrassing for us, because and then they're looking at each other, drawing like you're in their point. You're supposed to be there now. You guys got to know where you got to play, got to communicate, and that's where it concerns me too. On the defense, is, you know, a team gels well, Brandon, when they're playing very good and they're communicating and they know where each other's going to be. With this team, it's just he brings us. All right, I'm gonna let him go, and let's see if Matt Elam's back there to cover him. He's got this. And then you look back, and it's a 40-yard catch. And you're like, all right, Matt, where'd you go? And Matt's saying, well, I was covering it. No, you guys got to know this game, man. And I don't know if it just needs to practice well or game plan better, but it needs to change.
Absolutely. So we'll see. We'll see what the Ravens do up against the Titans. But you're predicting a Ravens win. I want to see these guys come out, and I want to see them play their hardest. Even if this team might not be as big of a threat as the Steelers or the Bengals, I still want these guys coming out all guns blazing, and I want them to really come out and win, and decisively win, and show that they can be a competitor in this league. Because right now it looks like all they can really do is just beat lesser teams than the Ravens are,
and I don't want to be a known for team like that, man. It's a lot of people have been saying this. We can't beat the good teams. Now, the Bengals aren't a good team. I'm going to say that state that for a fact right now. They're overachieving. I mean, you can't – they're just overachieving. It's just my opinion. I mean, they're not really that good. They should have lost. They got away with a couple wins against Austin. They should have lost last week, and they got away with that one. So, I'm not really going as far as that. You're right. You know, the Ravens, just they play down to the opponents. They never play up. I mean, they do sometimes, but you're right. They got to get a start, and they got to get a start now because their clock's ticking. There's 7 games left of the season. They're over halfway done. You know, they're 5-4. You can't compare years, but there's 2 things I always want to bring up with people regarding records. All right, they're 5-4. Okay, well, remember we were 9-2. I think it was 2010. No, I think it was 2010 because it was the year they won the years and went 12-4 to the playoffs. They were 9-2. And they lost 3 straight, and they were 9-5. And we remember that we had the identity crisis. Where are the Ravens? Who are they? Because are they a playoff team? And then remember they had to beat the Giants at home, and they beat them decisively, the defending champs. And then they went on to a 10-6 record because they lost to Cincinnati. You know, they were 10-5 going to Cincinnati, and they lost to Cincinnati, but still made the playoffs at 10-6. It was the same thing. And believe it or not, you know, that was the Super Bowl year. Remember, we were 9-2 and said, who is this team? Because they were in the identity crisis. The Ravens, Super Bowl year in 2000, they were 5-1, lost 3 straight. 5-4 record, the same record they have now. They went on to win 7 straight and went on to win the Super Bowl, win, you know, 4 playoff wins later in the Super Bowl win. They won 11 straight games. But besides the point, now, a 5-4 record, they're not done. They're in last place by a half a game, full game, I don't know. They're in last place by half a game right now. And the Browns losing, and we're tied with the Browns at the bottom of the basement, and the Bengals will be 6-2, and the Steelers will be 6-3. You know, guys, you got to calm down. Yes, the Dolphins are 5-3. Yes, there's other teams in AFC that could be a threat to a wild card position. But if it starts now and this team wins and puts everything behind them, Brandon, we're going to be okay. They can fix it. Like Harbaugh said, we're going to fight till the end, and it's still a long season. It was getting that much shorter with every game going by, but they got 7 games left. The Ravens, in my opinion, they got to go 5-2. If they go 5-2, that's 10-6. So 10-6 is the benchmark. That's the least they can do. They cannot afford to lose no more than 2 games. And in retrospect, in scheming that, you know, we're gonna break it down weekly, but there's 2 road games coming up that I think they might lose. But they got to take care of all their home games, and they just got to take care of the football and take care of the game at hand and start winning now. And starts winning now, going to a 6-4 bye week, and let's take it to the woodshed down there Monday Night Football and show them that we mean business. Maybe come out of that win at 7-4. Then you start building momentum, you know, but it starts this week against the Titans. If you come out flat, we're going to know. We're going to know by halftime, okay, where's this team stand? And by the bye week going into, where does this team stand? Are we going to be a 5-5 team or 6-4 team? Are we going to be flat? Or are we going to be not? Do we want to be a playoff team, or do we not want to be? And so far this year is the thing. They're not playing like Ravens as they should be, and it's not Ravens football. I mean, yeah, again, Brandon, we're not used to winning around here, so I think everybody just doesn't know what to do. We haven't had a losing season since 2007. Just let that sink in. It's 2014. We're about to close the door on 2014 and move to 2015 in 2 months. 2007 is the last time the Ravens had a losing record at 6-10. And they finished 8-8 last year, so that, again, it's a 500 record. And people always say that. But they finished 8-8. Well, again, it's 8-8. It's even. You know, there's no losing record there. They didn't finish 7-9. They finished 8-8. So they've been 500 or better in every season since then. That's something to be proud of. So it might be okay that we're in charter waters, but it's going to happen, guys. You know, we made the playoffs, you know, 5 years straight, capped it off with a Super Bowl run. If you go back to last year, added in 5 out of the last 6 years. No team can say they can do that. There's a lot of franchises out there starving for that. I mean, we could be the Jets. We could be 1-7 or 1, I don't know what the record is, and have a Super Bowl, you know, not Super Bowl, a quarterback controversy. You know, 2 starters out, and we don't know where our identity is. We could be a bad team like that. We're a 5-4 team who can win some, but we can lose some. We can look bad doing it. We might complain about it. We may not be playing up to our abilities. But, guys, calm down. I'm not saying I'm accepting this, but social media just overreacts to everything. It's pretty funny. We lose one game like this, and oh, the season's over. Oh, we should play for next year's draft picks and trade people. And it's just ridiculous how people's, you know, irrational, you know, knee-jerk reactions happen on us. Yeah, we got our butts beat, but we beat the Steelers 20 points in week two. The Steelers got reamed 31-10 against the Browns, and the Buccaneers came back from behind in Heinz Field and beat them. Are the Steelers, hey, they got their own issues because they got some losses they can look in the mirror. They're one game better than us because they just beat us. We beat them, we'd be 6-3, and they'd be 5-4, and then we'd be thinking we're all high and mighty, and the Steelers suck, right? So, again, maybe got to take in a stride. We had a bad game. You got to fix it. It's a long season. You've got 7 games left. This isn't week 16 where, oh, we got 1 game left and we look horrible. I know, are we a playoff team? No. They got to fix it now, Brandon, and it starts right now against the Titans going into a home game and a bye week. As easy as it can be, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big thing. If you remember a couple years ago, you know how John Harbaugh loves his slogans, mm-hmm. and it was WIN, what's yep. important now. That's what it is. That they should go back to that one at this point, because that is what's important right now, is just to win this game. You know, you can do the hustle every day or whatever he's doing this season, but what is important now, that's what it is. You got to win. You got to get that mindset back in. It is win. It is win time, and that's what I hope the Ravens are going to be able to do this weekend. So did we miss anything for this show?
Not a chance, my friend.
All right, very cool. So if you want to continue to talk Baltimore Ravens football with me, if you want to talk about the show, if you want to continue the conversation past the show, if you're a fan of the call, if you hate the call, if you just stumbled onto our show and you think we're completely wrong, let us know. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, and Josh is on Twitter as well. Where can people tweet to you at?
They can always tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
Very cool. Now, of course, we do a lot of other shows besides the call here at Brando Cash Entertainment. So go to BrandoCash.com, find out more about them. If you are a hockey fan, we also do What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Definitely check that out. It would be a lot of fun if you guys did that, which is also on the Baltimore Sports Report. So, you know, home away from home if you're a hockey and football fan. So definitely check that out. The call is on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there, and we'll post it whenever a new show comes out. So definitely do that if you are on Facebook. Now, we do the show completely for free. It is 2014. Nothing is free anymore. Where else can you hear this kind of stuff? Nowhere, unless you want to hear ads constantly, 24/7, over and over and over again. We are ad free. We do this for free. You guys stream and download it for free. We are available on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio. So check us out on all those things. But you guys got to tell people about the show. You guys have done a great job so far. We've gotten over 1,200 hits last week. Let's continue. Let's keep rising and rising and get more people listening to the show. So definitely check that out. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you are social on the web, let people know. I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call, and you should too. So this week, up against the Titans at home in the phone booth, it is going to be a good game, and it is on at 1 o'clock. So if you can't be there, definitely check it out on TV. It should be on CBS at 1 o'clock. But Josh, you know, it was a sad game on Sunday, but we're going to keep our heads held high. Give us those marching orders and tell us what's going on. Get us ready for this Sunday up against the Titans.
You got it, Brandon. And ladies and gentlemen, you're right. You know, we got to take our marching orders appropriately, and we know what's at stake, man. We really know what's at stake around here. 5-4 record again. We might be down and out. We might be down, but we're not out. You know, I should correct myself there. Definitely not out, as always. We're 5-4 right in the thick of things. Guys, calm down. Just calm down. I mean, hey, I was frustrated. I was pounding my fist on the table. I was saying my ahs and ahs and, oh, my gosh, can you believe this? And really, is again, you know, it's going to happen. Again, they beat us. It's okay. It's the Steelers. It's okay, but no one got the upper hand because we're 1-1 on the season. Let's get that behind us. Ravens Steelers rivalry has to be put the rest to this 2015, but on to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans come in and scare us? No. And I'm not really concerned about this game, as we broke it down before. We just need to take care of the football and get back down to Ravens basics. It's really that simple. Marching orders is very simple. You better wake up early this Sunday morning, you know, dust off your gear. You know, it's been a couple road games in there, and we haven't been to the bank in a while. So let's dust off the gear. Let's get the grills fired up. Let's get fired up for some Ravens football and get down there and let's root our guys hard and show them that we mean business. And we're going to come out of there 6-4 into a bye week with a nice rested team. And we're going to come out swinging in the second half of the season. It starts right now. It starts right now with a 6-4 record. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, all the Ravens, we're going to fly high against these Titans on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.